Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Citrix GoToAssist, the number one global market leader in remote support. Sign up for GoToAssist before October 10th to get another Citrix product free for 6 months. Visit GoToAssist.com and get started. And by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is an easy and affordable way to help you learn. Instantly stream thousands of courses created by experts on business, software, web development, graphic design, and more. For a free trial, visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used HTC and other Android devices are worth at gazelle.com. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android, episode 182, recorded on Tuesday, October 7th, 2014. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Owl.
I'm Gina Trapani.
How's it going, Gina?
Good, good. How are you doing?
Hanging in there. Hanging by a wing and a prayer, I believe is the saying, right?
Busy Tuesday.
Yes.
And we're Ronless, which is very sad.
That's right. Ron, unfortunately, had to bail. And, you know, I'm sure he has good reasons for it, but we're still going to give him crap for it. Because that's just how we roll.
New York Comic Con. That seems like a good enough reason.
Okay.
To me. I'll give him a pass.
I guess it's kind of his career, so... Whatever.
And whatever. It's just another chance to beat him in the arena.
That's true. Every time this happens, we get the opportunity to kind of take one step further, closer to the end, and he forfeits a chance to secure his lead. So,
indeed.
Really good point. Maybe he should take the rest of the year off, and we'll eke him out. We are super excited to welcome to the show, finally, Aaron Kasten, lead organizer for the Big Android Barbecue. Aaron, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me. Excited to be on the show.
Yeah, it's good to have you on here. We're going to talk all about the Big Android Barbecue, but I'm sure a lot of fans of this show are already kind of aware that it exists and can only assume that it's, you know, it's about Android and probably for Android fans, I have to imagine, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's pretty much for anybody who wants to come if, you know, they're an Android developer or an enthusiast or, you know, just interested in learning more about Android. Right. You don't have to own an Android phone. We have lots of iPhone owners that are out there as well. So.
Yeah. Well, it's a multi-platform world, so that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, cool. We are going to talk a lot about Big Android Barbecue in detail in a little bit. But before that, we have, you know, just a bunch of other stuff to talk about. Samsung slump and what that might mean for Android. The leaky ship that is the next batch of Nexus devices are getting more details leaked out. HTC's plans for wearables or their plans to delay wearables, unfortunately. Yet another messaging platform for Google, if you can believe it, and much more. But let's dive right into the news and get started.
Ron Richards might be away, but Android news is here today.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to go with to stay, but you went today, and that works. That's really good.
That was all on the fly.
I really appreciate your rhyming.
Getting impressive. Fancy and custom on us. I like it. And I like it a lot.
He's kicking the rhymes and the jams and stuff. What's going on over there? So, Gina, what we got?
Well, Samsung had some kind of bad news. Last night, I think, or the night before, they warned that its Q3 earnings will be weak, down nearly 60% from 2013. This mostly thanks to lower-priced smartphones and increased competition. Samsung's advanced features in their phones are regularly seen in lower-cost competing devices nowadays. China and emerging markets are the next frontier, but you have like companies like Xiaomi offering top-quality devices for sometimes half of what Samsung's top-tier devices go for. And Apple's steady rise in the higher-end market makes Samsung's higher-end options less differentiated, especially in light of the iPhone's larger size. So what does this mean for Android? I guess this is the big question. If Samsung's bottom line continues to erode, does that affect Android as a platform? How does it? Does that mean the lower-tier manufacturers get their day in the sun, or does it mean defection to other platforms like iOS and Windows? Windows phone. What do you guys think, Jason? What do you think? Are you concerned about Android because Samsung is taking a big hit this quarter?
I don't know. It's a hard question to answer only because Samsung has historically had such a huge impact on these numbers and have moved so many Android devices in the past. I guess the big question for fans of Android as a platform, probably also for developers that want to kind of develop apps and make money and, you know, create for a platform that offers a lot of users to develop against, is, are the people that are, you know, not coming in thanks to Samsung's top tier devices, are they going elsewhere? Are they jumping ship to iOS, or are they going to lower cost Android devices? And I don't know, my own personal experience, you know, particularly, like, I have the OnePlus One right now. This is firmly in the category of low cost but high, you know, high tier device, yeah. Right? Like, this is incredibly competitive to anything Samsung's putting out for $500 or $600, yet it's half the cost. And that's the threat to Samsung right now. And like you said, not to mention, iPhone now has a larger device. And for a lot of people, the reason that they were sticking with Samsung's larger format devices, as one example, is because they had larger format devices. And now Apple has that. So are those people going to jump ship over there and pull users away from Android? And that would not be a good thing for Android as a platform. How do you feel about this, Aaron? Where do you kind of fall on this?
I agree with exactly what you said. I don't think this is necessarily a threat to the long-term viability of Android or anything like that. I think it's kind of the evening out of the Android market. Android's still growing, dominating the market. I, too, am using the OnePlus One. I shouldn't move much. I think, Samsung's pretty much dominated Android for the last 3 years, but it's only been the last 3 years. Before that, you know, HTC was a strong player. That was pretty much it. Motorola was in there a little bit, but Samsung just kind of took it over. And so seeing Samsung falter, everybody thinks, well, you know, maybe Android's in trouble, but there's a lot more competition out there, like you were saying. There's all these Chinese manufacturers showing up, Huawei's coming onto the market, or at least trying to. The OnePlus One made a splash. Whether you fall on one side of the hate them or love them opinion or not, they made a lot of waves and sold, I'm sure, quite a few. The fact that we're both using one says something.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really what's eroding Samsung's market share is stiffer competition, like they said. And then, you know, they spend just buckets of money on marketing, so they could probably cut back on that and it might help. I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, in a lot of ways, they haven't created a software experience that's so compelling that people specifically want Samsung devices. I know that they've tried. I know that that's what they want, right? They kind of stumbled with the smartwatches. You know, they stumbled with the accessories that required you to sync, you know, to a Samsung phone. And from what I heard, now I haven't, a Samsung phone hasn't been my daily driver, only the Galaxy Nexus, which was pure Android, so it wasn't a Samsung software experience. But from what I understand, the Samsung software experience is kind of meh. Right. And like that was kind of the opportunity. I'm not concerned about Android as a platform. I mean, by design, Android is not dependent on any one manufacturer. And I'm sort of excited about the competition, you know, and the opportunities for competition to just make phones that are a better experience all around, hardware and software. So I'm not really concerned. And I actually am also using the OnePlus One. But, you know, where the three of us are sort of very deeply embedded in this, you know, community, and like we've had invites, and like most people don't have those opportunities.
I couldn't give
What's that?
Oh, really? Interesting.
There was a point where I couldn't give them away. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't trying very hard, but, you know, I'd post something on Google Plus. Hey, I got an invite. And by the time someone replied, it expired. So,
yeah, I know. And that's the challenge, right? Is you get an invite and it's like, you have 24 hours and then you got to go on the hunt. I mean, I get people not every day, but I mean, you know, today I've had two different people like, hey, I've got some invites. Want to help me get rid of them? And, you know, it's at this point now where it's like, I actually have a day job. I can't get rid of everybody's invites. But what I see from there is, you know, definitely still there's more supply that's leaking out for this phone in particular. And there's definite demand. When I mentioned it in the chat room earlier this morning that somebody in the chat room had it, there were like 10 people immediately that were like, I want one. Definitely. And, you know, that's because it packs in value, right? Value for half the cost. And then when you take a look at Samsung's offerings, which, I mean, I have the latest Galaxy Tab S that I'm reviewing, and it's a really, really nice tablet, super premium quality, more expensive and everything. But more and more, Samsung has to justify why they're charging those fees, not because the device isn't worth it, but because other devices are offering the same for less expensive. And in some cases, by some people's definitions, the design, as one example, is better in those cases. You know, that people, you know, I make no bones about it that I prefer something a little bit more solid, a little bit less plasticky. That's my own personal criticism, and everybody has their own preferences. But we're seeing a lot more of those devices that have aluminum side, you know, aluminum casings and stuff like that for a lesser cost. And that just kind of feels premium to a lot of people. And so there's that perception, you know what I mean? It's like, why am I paying $600 for Samsung and it feels a certain way? I expect it to feel better and be more of a premium device than it seems to be. And I wonder if that's going to, you know, hopefully that's going to change. They seem to be changing their design kind of language right now in some ways with the Alpha and a few of their other devices where they're kind of paying more attention to the look and feel of the device. And that's just one aspect of it all, obviously. But So, yeah. So I don't know if it hurts Android as a whole necessarily. Like I think we're all in agreement. It seems to kind of splinter out to the other, you know, partners and the other OEMs that are creating devices. And that, I think that's really good for Android. That's diversity. That's kind of what the platform's all about. So,
yep. Agreed.
I agree. It's going to be good for Android.
And so speaking of S5 and speaking of Samsung and particularly TouchWiz, as you were talking, Gina, we've talked on the show in the past about, you know, version L just being this big kind of shift. But one of the biggest shifts, I'd say, for Android as far as its design language is concerned. And how does that translate into these overlays and everything? So we actually have some video that was leaked with the UI, an early build of the UI, a test build of TouchWiz based on version L. And, you know, right off the top, you're seeing that lit lock screen. You're seeing the notifications styled the way it is in version L. So that's kind of cool. A lot of the interface looks very similar to TouchWiz that we're used to seeing. You know, I would be surprised if Samsung came out of the gate and everything looked exactly like stock version L, because that's just not what Samsung does, right? They've spent all of these years kind of skinning. That looks kind of similar, actually, the keypad anyways, to what I've seen in version L. But so I don't know. You know, it's a long video, and I have to imagine, you know, I've seen bits and pieces. I don't know how much of this video you guys have seen, but do you like what you're seeing here? Does it seem like Samsung's paying attention to things that they haven't before as far as, like, implementing the good parts of a new kind of design paradigm of Android and implementing it into their own offering? What do you guys think?
I mean, it's a good start.
It's a good start.
Opinion.
Yeah.
No, this seems kind of half-assed to me. I got to be honest. Like, okay. All right. So I'm just seeing the video now. And, like, I don't know. I see a little bit of L here and there. Mm-hmm. But it feels a little bit cobbled together.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I don't know.
And they've got the colors, you know, they've got the really bright kind of material design influenced colors. Honestly, I did not expect the lock screen to, or the lock screen notifications. Mm-hmm. to resemble. Like, that was just one example that, like, right off the bat when I played the video and saw that, I was like, whoa. They're actually keeping that in there. That's actually kind of interesting. Of course, it is an early test build. Who knows where this is going to land? Or, you know, maybe they just hadn't tackled that. I don't know. But, yeah.
Right. I mean, that is definitely one of the better parts of L, right? Have you been running L, Jason? You had L on your 5 there for a while.
Yeah. I mean, now I'm using the OnePlus as, like, my main phone. So I use the L here when I'm testing apps and stuff like that. But, yes, I used the L preview for a few months after IO.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like.
Yeah, how did that look to you? You were seeing some bits of L there, but I don't know, that looked more TouchWiz-y to me than L.
Well, it's weird. I mean, like I said, Samsung's not going to just kick out, you know, the TouchWiz that they've created slowly over time. So it's going to look like TouchWiz. I don't know. I guess it remains to be seen. There's more details throughout the video of other pieces. The lock screen, though, the lock screen notification, that gives me at least a little bit of hope. But Samsung's got to put their stamp on it. So that's that's kind of their way.
Yep.
But,
yep.
So, yeah, I suppose we'll see. And fans of TouchWiz might be happy with what they saw there. But this news is kind of big, don't you think, Gina?
This is kind of big for Google Voice users, absolutely.
Again, we're getting more and more news from Google Voice.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about this. So the day that Google Voice users have waited for has finally arrived, almost. This is going to take away like my biggest voice complaint. What am I going to complain about? Google Voice is now compatible with MMS on 100 North American carriers. Except for Verizon.
Wah, wah. Of course.
AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile are working to both send and receive MMS via Google Voice. Anyone in Verizon can send MMS to a Google Voice user successfully, but Google Voice users on Verizon can't use the service to send them. So we're getting there. Closer. I didn't even realize that this was happening, so I haven't even had a chance to try it yet because I don't want to be disappointed. This has been like the white whale for like Google Voice users, like getting MMS. But it appears to work. Android Central did confirm that it does indeed work. In fact, there is a photograph of Hangouts with an image that says sent, you know, via Google Voice. So yay. Except for the Verizon part.
Yeah. And hello. The hard part about this for users of voice, that we've been with voice for a couple of years now, is that because we haven't had it for so long, we've like adapted to not having it. And anybody that's sent me an MMS in the past like 3 years since I've been using Google Voice has probably at this point given up because I never reply back because I don't know that they sent me anything.
Right.
And so I'm probably not going to get any more MMS because they're already ticked off at me. So
there was a period there where like I would get an email saying that I'd received a text with an image attachment. Like once in a while that would happen. I'd be like, oh, okay, this is something at least. Right. But the worst SMS conversation that you have to have with someone is that you use Google Voice. Yes. And if they sent you a photo and you're only guessing that maybe they did based on something they said later that didn't have any other context, so you have to sort of think that maybe they sent you an image with other comments, that you use Google Voice and you don't get MMS. People are just like, what? Because people text photos all the time, right? But I haven't been part of that world.
I know. We've excluded ourselves.
Yeah. I have diligently worked to try and convince my family that that is the worst way to send photos. I'm like, it kills your photo. It makes it look terrible.
Yeah.
There are 50 different ways to send me a photo. Use any of the other 50.
It is. That's a hard thing to convince people of, though. I mean, you know, the only person that I really like send photo messages to and from throughout the day is my wife, and she has an Android device with Hangouts, and so we just use Hangouts. That's what we
use Hangouts.
That's just what we've grown accustomed to using over the past year at least. Convincing my parents to use Hangouts or something else other than it's not like my parents are sending me MMS messages, but you know what I mean. It's not an easy an easy thing to convince somebody. Hey, quit doing what you're used to doing and do this thing because eventually you'll be used to this.
Me.
Yeah,
right.
Just for me.
Just for me. Yeah, I've been using this thing.
I've been using this thing since it was called Grand Central, so I definitely feel your pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Well, and one thing that we can glean from this, again, and I feel like we kind of were there a couple of weeks ago when they finally integrated Hangouts and Voice together, is that Google has not given up on Google Voice. They're obviously
working on it.
And they're making the service better. And yeah, like you said, Gina, that was kind of one of the biggest things keeping people from using Google Voice. That and the fact that it's, U.S. only, I believe. It's not in Canada, right? I think it's just U.S. So that needs to open up too.
Sure.
So that everybody else can get in on the action because it's great. All right. So, hey, let's take a few minutes and talk a little bit about Big Android Barbecue. So, Aaron, well, let's just kind of start with the obvious question here. What exactly is it? What kind of motivated you to start Big Android Barbecue?
So the Big Android Barbecue I think it's the world's largest community organized Android developer and enthusiast conference. That's kind of our tagline. We're all volunteers. 5 years in, I still don't get paid to organize the barbecue.
Get paid in beer.
I get paid in beer in good times.
Okay.
We cover my travel when I go to meet new sponsors and try and bring in more money. So that helps.
There you
go. I get to go down. So that's fun. What motivated me to start it? It was at I.O. actually, 5 years ago. It was my first time there. I was out there for the IT company that I used to own, and basically there to talk about Google Apps for Business, because it was just not a great product at the time, and I wanted to talk to them about ways to improve it. And I thought the Android side of the event was really exciting, and I was already into Android and getting to know that whole ecosystem as it was just getting going. And I thought there really needed to be an event like I.O. that was a little more accessible for anybody who wanted to go. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy for everybody to afford a flight and a stay in San Francisco on top of what is now a $900 I.O. ticket. Yeah, it was $450 back then, but still it was, that's a large cost of entry that not everybody can afford to take on. And so I thought, hey, I love this. I love meeting all the great people and developers and learning and all the awesome sessions. And then the parties were a blast. And so I thought, let's do one for everybody. And so I went home and talked to some buddies, and we threw a party in one of my friend's backyards. I had some shirts printed up, and we, back then it was just, everybody was on Twitter. Google Plus wasn't around yet. And so we were tweeting about it the whole time, and there was a lot of traction on Twitter. And so the 15 of us said, okay, let's see if we can turn this into something bigger. And in a couple of months, and 4 months later, we had 537 people show up in Austin for our first event. We had three sessions, I think, and it was all outdoors, and it was a mess. It was interesting. It was a lot of fun, though. And so we've just kind of grown over the years. We moved to Dallas now. We're in a conference center. We have 40 sessions. 42, I think, exactly. Wow. We've got Google speaking. Chet Hayes is speaking. Rito Meyer and Timothy Jordan are doing our keynote. I mean, it's just grown and grown, and it's exciting to see that we can still provide this experience for people to come. And we've had to raise our prices a little bit, but we're still by far the most affordable conference that I know of out there. I think I like to say we're the best value conference there is. So, for $100, you can get 2 days, 40 sessions, all you can eat barbecue, all you can drink beer, twice all you can drink beer, plus another party with free drinks. I mean, it's crazy. It's a party. It's a party, but you get to learn and meet a lot of awesome people at the same time.
Why are we not going to this, Gina?
Yeah, I was gonna say.
The heck?
You're invited.
Look at my phone.
I know. We gotta make this happen. Gotta make this. Also notice Steve Kondik of Cyanogen Inc. is going to be there.
Yeah, so Cyanogen's been, I mean, we're old buddies. We go way back. They were at our very first event. They we've watched, I've been good friends with them. I hang out with Steve whenever they're in town, and whenever I go out to Seattle, we're all old friends, who have been in this Android ecosystem. I call it an ecosystem now rather than a community, because I feel like it's grown beyond that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There's still this community of people who've been around since the beginning, and we're all pretty close. It's been really exciting to see people's lives change and their careers grow. And these guys who were just a bunch of hackers who just took over our stage the first year without even us asking them or asking permission to do it. They just went up there and started talking to the crowd. these guys who just didn't care 5 years ago just turned down an offer from Google or supposedly, I don't know.
That's the rumor. Yeah.
And I have no information on that, so don't even ask. But they supposedly turned down an offer from Google and expect to be valued at $1 billion. That's crazy. I mean, yeah, it's exciting. It's awesome. I wish I was part of that company.
I imagine anybody wishes they were part of a company that might supposedly be up for $1 billion buyout by Google.
Steve's life's going to change. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We got Jay Freeman too from Cydia. I mean, that guy's amazing. Sessions this year are crazy. It was the hardest scheduling I've ever done, because I was like, I want to be in every session. There's some bad conflicts. There was nothing I could do.
Well, I mean, and that's just it right there. Like the fact that you have 40 sessions, 40, that's a lot. Two, and this is all fit into 2 days around, I'm assuming, all the social events as well. But that's just really impressive. And a lot of the names that you have in the roster are impressive. Are tickets, tickets are still available for people that are interested or in the area? Is that right?
Yes, they still are available. Hey, if, even if you're not in the area, you can still fly in. There's still flights.
Russell Holley, he's been on the show many
times. Russell Holley, yeah. He may be doing a telepresence one. He broke his leg.
Oh, that's right.
I've been talking to him. Russell and I are very good friends as well. We go back to the early days. The very first year, Russell was sitting on a chair by our gate, being like our door guy. He was stopping people from coming in, and my mom like yelled at him. It was fun. There's all sorts of crazy stories about that, but yeah, there's still time. Get tickets. We've got a discount code for Twitch. Why did I put Twitch? I think that was I supposed to put Twitch or should I put it? I should have put Twit.
Yeah, Twit. Fix that. All right. I was wondering about that. I just thought it was like a general code.
I don't know why I did that.
No, it's all good.
So it's going to be Twit, TWIT, and capital TWIT will work as well. They're not going to work for just a second because I need to fix those, but. They will be working in just a minute.
All right. So if you're catching this show in the podcast form, if you go to the site bigandroidbbq.com and you want to buy a ticket for the show, you can get it's a 20% off using the code TWIT. Is that right?
So that'd bring it down. I don't know. They're $75. So whatever, 20% off, $75.
There you go. Still, that's awesome. And man, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm going to have to, this is like the third year, I think, where I'm like, man, I'm totally going to make this work. And then real life gets in the way. And I realize, man, I'm going to have to like make a, you know, go to Leo and everyone with like a list of reasons why I need to be there and put beer somewhere in the middle. So that doesn't seem like the top priority,
but it's still a priority.
Yeah. It's in there. I think Leo and everybody else would understand. Yeah. So, but that's awesome. Big Android Barbecue. Check it out. It's Hearst, Texas at the Hearst Conference Center, October 16th to 18th. And if you're not able to go, guaranteed you're going to see pictures and hear all about it on Google Plus. Because I know in the last couple of years, I've seen Google Plus folks go nuts about it. See all the big group photos and everything. You're like, oh, I wish I was there.
Yeah, so. We're going to try and stream. We try every year, but we're actually going to try and stream more this year and record as much as we can. We're partnering up with XDA TV and some of the other partners to help cover that. And the good news is we're planning more events. Like we planned what we called the Big Android Meet and Greet, M-E-A-T, after I.O. party. And then we've got another event coming up next year that – not quite ready to announce yet, but it'll be in the Washington D.C. area. So we've got a San Francisco event, a D.C. event, and a Texas event now. So we're growing a little bit.
Right on. Well, guaranteed this next year's I.O. I will be there at the meet and greet.
That's a free event too, so there's no way you should miss it.
Excellent. I have no excuse. Cool. So check it out, bigandroidbbq.com. And there you go. But of course, Aaron's going to stick around and join us for the rest of the news from the show. But before we move on, let's thank our first sponsor, and that is GoToAssist. Managing your company's IT support needs can be challenging, especially when you have remote or mobile employees. I highly recommend Citrix GoToAssist. They're the number one global market leader in remote support. And it's, you know, it's easy to use. It's cloud-based remote support solution that allows you and your IT team to solve those problems faster. And if you sign up for GoToAssist before October 10th, you're going to get another Citrix product of your choice for free for 6 months. So it's a great deal. GoToAssist remote support lets you provide live and unattended remote support to any computer or mobile device. You can screen share, diagnose and fix support problems faster and more effectively by sharing the screen of the person that you're attempting to help. It just makes the whole process a lot easier when you can see things from your end. And you can use GoToAssist apps to easily deliver support anytime, anywhere. Do it on your own time because you're doing it from your own machine. So it makes it a lot easier that way. If you work in IT and you want to try GoToAssist, now's the perfect time to do it. It's perfect for IT professionals that want to use it to be a support help desk. Sign up for GoToAssist today, and you'll get another Citrix tool free for 6 months. Visit GoToAssist.com, and you can get started. Don't wait. This is a limited time offer. The special offer ends October 10th. So, you know, we're talking like right around the corner here. It's the 7th right now as of this recording. So you have a couple of days. So get on it. Visit GoToAssist.com and sign up to receive this special offer today. And we thank Citrix, GoToAssist, for their support of All About Android and the Twit Network. All right. Should we do it? Should we get into some rumory hardware news?
Yeah,
let's do it. I suppose the words rumor and news shouldn't be in the same sentence because they're kind of at odds with each other, but there we go.
But news is there's a rumor.
Yeah.
Let's start with HTC. Yeah. HTC has an event tomorrow where it's expected to announce a new phone in the HTC One M8 family with an emphasis in some way on the camera. So they teased this on Twitter, and they included an image that kind of was blurry. It was an animated GIF, and it kind of went blurry and then focused back in. And the tagline is, don't adjust your screen, just focus on the date. So the device is expected to be called the HTC M8i. That's E-Y-E-I, as an eyeball, not as an iPhone.
Letter I.
With a dual camera in tow. A rumor has it that HTC is scrapping the ultra-pixel approach in favor of a 13-megapixel camera. HTC did go on the record ahead of the event, though, telling Recode that though they are hard at work on wearables of some sort, none will be launched at this event tomorrow. Quote, we'd originally planned to have a wearable launch in this time frame and ended up just not being ready, said HTC America's Jason McKenzie. They want to be sure that they have it right when they chose to come to market, saying that no one has quite nailed it quite yet. So interesting, HTC deciding to take your time on the wearables. I'm kind of intrigued by this eye. Jason, do you think that there's an opportunity in the Android hardware market for an outstanding, crazy good camera phone, like camera on a phone? Do you feel like that's like a thing that could sell?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, cameras are one of the few things on a device that I think is indispensable to most people. Now that we're used to having a camera in our pocket all the time, we want that camera to be good. And yeah, I mean, we've talked about it plenty of times on the show that the Android cameras on Android devices often aren't so amazing, or they might be really great in good light. This is what I think we see most of the time, is that, wow, it's really great in the perfectly composed environment. But when you're inside or at a nightclub or doing something, you know, somewhere indoors, you're going to end up with grainy pictures. And that's the problem that needs to be solved here. And yes, absolutely. I think that's essential. Now, I guess you don't really have your M8 anymore, right? Because it broke. Is that right, Gina?
Oh, yeah, sorry. You were looking, it's funny. Oh. You were looking that way, and I was like, oh,
sorry.
He's talking to
the
Eric.
Preview monitor is over. Sorry
no,
about
that. No, that's okay.
So you had the M8.
Skype weirdness. I did. I had the M8.
Camera quality?
Not because it wasn't a solid phone, but because it was beat against the floor by the young child I live with. It was a great device. The camera, was pretty good, but, you know, I've said this before, like, I take 12 photos, right? And, like, one or two of them, you know, in a situation, particularly with a fast moving small child, and like one or two will come out good. And, you know, I haven't used an iPhone full time in a really long time, but, you know, what my experience with the iPhone is that I could generally get a better picture faster. And even just looking at some of the iPhone 6, you know, side by sides, like the photos just look really good, especially in challenging lighting situations. And I still don't think we just don't quite have that on the Android side. So
yeah,
the M8 was a great phone. I think the camera there was some room for improvement. So I think HTC might be onto something here.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if they are actually scrapping the ultra pixel approach, 4 megapixel going forward. I think they have the HTC Butterfly 2, I believe, had the megapixel camera as opposed to the ultra pixel. So this isn't like the first time that they're branching away since they've done the move to the ultra pixel.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I suppose we'll have more solid information tomorrow. As for HTC's wearable, Aaron, you have the Moto 360. Does HTC's design approach, because you know, they have kind of a unique take on design. Does that appeal to you in the same way that the Moto 360 kind of did?
Yeah, I'm interested. I've always thought that HTC had some really great design chops. They always make really, really great phones and hardware. So I'm interested. I'm really interested to see what they do in the wearable space. I really like the Moto 360 as well. I wish it didn't have the little flat tire, but really most of the time I don't even notice it. So yeah, it's not that big a deal. I do want to comment on the camera conversation real quick. I've had two Android cameras in the history of Android that I thought were quality cameras. And I don't know how, but the HTC Sensation was one of the only phones that I ever had that I enjoyed the pictures it took. Mm-hmm. And then if this was a phone, if the Galaxy Camera 2 was a phone, I would probably use this as my daily driver because it takes great photos, but it's also like a full-blown camera. So there's that.
Right. I don't remember with that camera, does it actually also place calls? Like, does it have...
No, not. Well, it would if it had a SIM card because it runs full Android. So right. I mean, I could put Google Voice on it and...
Right, you can do it through Google Voice. Okay, I gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So I guess you pick your poison. Do you want a camera with phone built into it, or do you want a phone with a camera?
I could install Google Voice on my camera. That's funny.
Never thought you'd hear that, did you?
No, that's funny. It's a funny way to put it.
This has replaced all my other cameras. I love it.
So, the best camera you have is the camera you have on you. Do you have that on you all the time, or are you kind of taking that with you? You have to kind of plan in order for that to be your camera.
Yeah, if I think I'm gonna be one, if I think I might take some pictures, I take it with me. Otherwise, same thing goes for Google Glass. I mean, it's been relegated to just being a camera for me now. I don't use it for anything else.
I know that feel.
Makes me sad.
Feel bad for admitting that, but yeah, it's true. Really,
do you guys ever use a Wink Feed while you were using Google Glass?
No, I didn't use Wink Feed. What was Wink Feed? Is that an app?
It was an RSS app. It was an RSS app. It was just called Wink Feed. I actually came up with the name. It was just an RSS feed for Google Glass. A buddy and I put together. So
nice.
Sorry. So as you can see, I don't really support it that much.
Yeah. No, I actually just plugged it in this morning because I was like, my youngest daughter suddenly has taken this like brain leap. I was like, okay, I need to plug in the Google Glass because I need some first-person perspective of some of the stuff that's going on right now. Yeah. Because, I mean, that is, and we talked about it plenty of times on the show, that is a really unique feature of Google Glass is the capability of capturing kind of memories as opposed to video. Really comes in handy. When you're a parent, you find many uses for something like that, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's see here. Okay, so let's get right into the rumor world. And those who don't like rumors, skip forward to the email about 5 minutes from now. But you might want to stick around because these are cool rumors. We're hearing more about Nexus devices that we're probably going to hear a lot about here within this month. I would imagine we're going to get some official information about this. So let's start with the Nexus 6. Got all stealthy in a couple of subway shots. This is probably pretty cool. I guess somebody was on the subway, I think in New York or something, and they looked down and they're like, wait a minute, that kind of looks like some of the leaked photos that we're seeing for the Nexus 6. Of course, it's wearing a little bumper case to conceal its identity. But man, these look really a little too composed almost. Like that, the camera had to be really close to shoot those pictures, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying that it's not real. I'm just saying Ron's assertion that a lot of these things happen, not by accident and possibly by Google.
could apply here.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, could apply here indeed. Interesting.
Yeah. So you
see a lot of crazy devices on the subway, I have to say. And I always sort of look around and try to, but I've never... I don't think I could ever take a photo of someone's device. Although I don't know if you're on a really packed subway, sometimes you can get close.
Yeah,
no, this has just the right amount of graininess.
But man,
I don't have any subways.
if you're taking
if you're taking a picture
of someone's phone and like they look over right when you're taking a picture, that would really suck.
Creepy.
Sorry,
creepy.
I was just taking a picture of your phone and everything that you're doing on it right now.
Don't mind me.
I was only going to put it on Reddit, man.
Yeah. taking a picture of your Facebook feed.
Like, no big deal. I'll blur it out, I promise. You can trust me. You can trust me. All I'm doing is taking a picture of your phone while you're surfing Facebook. You can trust me. Okay, so there we go. And yes, it had the kind of aluminum side. It had the double stereo speakers. And actually, if you still have that image, Brian, it kind of gives you, well, it gives you no indication on how large the person's hands actually are in reality, because there's no like quarter sitting next to it, so you can have some sort of, you know, a familiar object to compare it against. But it didn't look like it was that big in his hand. It looks like a normal device. I don't know. Maybe it isn't as big as everybody's thinking. It will be. So there you go. And then we have the device made a visit to the FCC. That revealed support for AT&T and T-Mobile. But, of course, the fabled trip to the FCC usually indicates that we're probably pretty close to hearing something official about it. Possibly Verizon. We don't know that for certain. But there you go. And then, finally, Geekbench. There was a Geekbench score that measures the CPU performance. And that surfaced, showing the Motorola Nexus 6 performing at the top of the chain, multi-core performance, and on the top of other top-tier Android devices. In the single-core performance, though, it was beat out by the iPhone 5S and the iPhone 6. So those results are apparently good at measuring, you know, how powerful the device is. Are you getting excited about the Nexus 6? Is it too big for you, Aaron, or do you think it's just right, or how do you feel about it?
I'm pretty excited. I like big phones, so yeah. And benchmarks mean absolutely nothing to
right.
me whatsoever. It's yeah. all gibberish to me. But you know, all I care about is the experience. So I am excited. I want a big phone. So the bigger the better.
Yeah.
I have a dumb question, which I feel like maybe I should have the answer to already. But how is Geekbench running these against a thing that hasn't been released? I'm confused.
That's a really great question, actually.
Somebody ran it, and so when somebody ran it on their end, Geekbench receives the score as well, and so they noticed that something had been. I'm guessing. That's a total guess.
That's probably a pretty accurate guess, actually, now that I think about it, because, you know, Google likes to dog food their devices and all that kind of stuff. So if one of those people is dog fooding the device and runs the Geekbench score, that translates back to Geekbench, and there you have it. That's actually probably
gotcha.
Exactly what happened.
Okay. So Geekbench got back. Shamu, this is what. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good point. No, it's interesting. No, that makes perfect sense. And then
from the dumb question department.
No. Good question. And then what do we know about the other Nexus, Gina?
The HTC Nexus 9 is also expected, and UpLeaks on Twitter has a leaked image showing off the tablet's 4x3 dimensions. It is a black rectangle, folks, and we have a camera in the upper left-hand corner. Well, depending on how you hold it in. And yes, the Nexus 9 also made an FCC appearance with a Wi-Fi-only model expected and a 4G model to follow. So there you go, Nexus 9. So no 8. So we're gonna have a 6. We have the 7, obviously, and we go into the 9 for the tablet. Numbers wise,
save the 8 for next year.
Okay.
Yeah.
They got to have something, and it'll be a phone. It's not gonna be a tablet. It'll be an 8-inch phone.
An 8-inch phone. Okay. Yeah. I like that.
It's the only logical conclusion that we can come up with here. Every year,
it's like with my daughter, and I'm like, "What comes after 4?" She's like, 6. I'm like, "Technically, that is true, but I was looking for 5." I kind of feel that way about the Nexus.
Yeah, I mean,
the 7 will just become a phone, and
right?
The 8 will be your tablet. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird world we're moving into. There we go. All right, so let's answer a few emails here. And this, let's see here, in response. So we had a conversation last week about Android Auto, and kind of what happens when you're driving, you know, how does the interface respond or does it respond? Rich in Westbury, New York wrote in to say, I thought it was interesting when you said that Android in the car won't allow users to control certain things while driving. I think this is a feature that will be able to be shut off. Think of it this way. Let's say for the sake of this argument that I'm a reckless driver. If Android in the car tells me I can't do something I want to do while I'm driving, I'm just going to disconnect the car interface and simply hook up the phone through Bluetooth and interact through my phone. When you consider that someone could do that, suddenly it's safer to allow users to bypass these controls when they want to. Good point. I suppose that would be safer than, you know, having to like fiddle around with it while you're driving. We also had a lot of people, well, a few, and one really charged up person, really charged up with intense dissatisfaction with our assertion that there might be controls that limit the use of apps while a vehicle is in motion, said, you have just condemned the other three passengers in the car from using their phone, the other 19 people on the bus from using their phone, the other 31 riders on the subway, and so on and so forth. He says, if safety is your first concern, then you put everyone in cages like a baby for their own protection. And I think the point there is not necessarily that this is the right way, the right approach, but that we should respect that it's unsafe for drivers to manage their phones while they're driving, right? And if there's a way to protect against it somehow, not saying that this is the way to do it, but there should be thought into that. And, you know, maybe there are smart ways to implement something like this so that people can protect themselves and others on the road from, you know, actions that might endanger people. Maybe it is something that people opt into, but, you know, like I have Agent installed on my phone, and I have it specifically set up so that when I'm driving, I don't see any text messages, and I opt into that, but I appreciate that I have the ability to do that, and it detects when I'm driving, and it doesn't let me see any of the text messages. That way, I don't have to, you know, worry about how I'm going to feel if a message comes through and if I'm just going to can't resist it and have to read it right now. It answers that question for me. So I'm not saying it's the right approach, but you got to think about it. I think that's imperative on Google to think about these things.
I don't even understand this assertion that
I don't either.
If driver is using Android Auto, how does that affect the other three people, 19, 31? That is just ridiculous. Whoever wrote this, you're ridiculous. I mean, come on. Use your brain for a minute.
That's what I was going to say. Like this, yeah, it doesn't prevent other people from using their phone in the car. So the point
unless
of the Android Auto
it, yeah,
is that you get this giant touchscreen that makes it super simple with huge tap targets to do the most common actions that you'd want in a car, which is like navigate, listen to a podcast, listen all about Android, you know, listen to the radio. Like that's the whole point, right? If you want to do something else on your phone, you can unplug it and use your phone, but that's annoying, right? Like the whole point of Android Auto is that it's big and easy and it's heads up display. I mean, all you have to do is not plug your phone in if you don't want to use the limited interface. I mean, I would say the limited interface is actually enables the driver to safely, you know, do the kind of common actions, right, without having to fiddle or get one of those stupid car mounts that always breaks for me after a while or whatever. I don't know. This is a weird reaction. I mean, I get the whole, you know, don't cage me in, man, feeling, but I don't think the Android Auto actually does that.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, if it's running in a car, like I can kind of understand where he's coming from. If it's running in a car and you have passengers and the passenger wants to do something, then suddenly they can't because there's a setting that prevents, you know, even passengers from doing it. Being on a plane or a bus or, you know, I think there are other examples where it got
it's
larger. Than
much,
that doesn't
right?
make a whole like, lot of sense.
Their device isn't connected to your your screen. It's your device. So they can still use their device however they want.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right. I like Aaron. I like Aaron's style. He's filled with all the rage that I'm not quite filled with because I have to host the show every week and I don't want to like upset people too much. But it's good to have a guest who's real straightforward about how he feels.
I'm just being the blob right now. So I figured I'd still fit the image.
this person that wrote in wasn't the only person to kind of be like, you know, sure, you know, offering, well, this was the extreme of the opinion. Let's just say that.
standing in there somewhere.
So, you know, people fall on different points on this, but I do understand the kind of nanny state kind of point of this email. But at the same time, I think it's perfectly appropriate to consider ways to use the technology to help make everything a little bit safer. I mean, you know, just because it sucks to be limited doesn't mean that it's not, you know, a responsible course to take, at least to try. So there you go.
Yeah.
I think it makes Android Auto a safer platform. But, you know, and this is just us talking about things that we don't even know exist. You know what I mean? Like, we know a little bit about Android Auto. We never in our talking about Android Auto did we say this is actually going to happen. We're just kind of trying to figure out, like, how do we make the roads safer? Because, by the way, if you didn't know, texting and driving is, like, the number one reason that people get in accidents and people die on the road. So that's kind of a big deal. So there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break and thank our second sponsor for today's episode, and that is Lynda. Man, I love Lynda. Lynda just makes you smarter. That's what it's all about. It's an easy and affordable way to help you learn. You can instantly stream thousands of courses created by experts on software, web development, graphic design, and more. Lynda.com works directly with industry experts and software companies to provide timely training, often the same day new versions or releases hit the market, so you're always up to speed. All courses are produced at the highest quality. This is not, you know, YouTube videos, you just hop on YouTube and search it and you get all that, you know, background noise and the flickery lights and, you know, everything just kind of looks cheap and everything. That's not Lynda. Lynda is highly produced and courses are broken into bite-sized pieces so you can learn at your own pace. You learn from start to finish. Or you can just dive right in and find a quick answer to a question that you have. Tools include searchable transcripts, playlists, certificates for course completion, which you can actually publish to your LinkedIn profile. It's great if you're a professional in the field or if you're looking for a job and you want to show what you know and proof that you know it. There you go. Whether you're beginner or advanced, Lynda.com has courses for all experience levels. And you can learn while you're on the go with the Lynda.com apps for iPhone, iPad, and Android. They actually allow you to kind of pick up where you left off, you know, so you can go from mobile to your desktop, very seamless. One low monthly price of $25 gives you unlimited access to over 100,000 video tutorials. And premium members with an annual plan can download courses to their iPhone, iPads, or Androids and watch them offline. Premium plan members can also download project files and practice along with the instructor. And, yeah, that's just it's the beauty of Lynda is that you're basically learning along with the instructor. It's almost like you're learning from an instructor directly sitting in a classroom because it's just so highly produced. They bring you so close to the content, and I just learned a lot about, you know, Adobe Premiere editing, just a whole lot of stuff since we've had Lynda on the network and even before that. Just a great service. So they have courses that directly relate to, you know, fans of this show. Building adaptive Android apps with Fragments, Android Studio First Look, Android Essential Training, simple Android development tools. Just go into Lynda and do a search for Android. You're going to find a ton of results. For any software you rely on, Lynda.com can help you stay current with all software updates and learn the ins and outs to be more efficient and productive. And, of course, we've got a special offer for you to access all the courses free for 7 days. It's a whole week. Visit lynda.com/allaboutandroid to try lynda.com free for 7 days. That's lynda.com/allaboutandroid. And we thank Lynda for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. Thank you. All right, let's get into the apps. All right. What's going on here? New messaging service from Google, Gina?
This is kind of wacky. So we might be looking at a new Google messaging app that akin to WhatsApp. Google supposedly is planning to launch its own mobile messaging app, which they're planning to test in India and other emerging markets, according to the India Times. Last month, Google sent top product manager Nikhil Sengal to India to research the messaging app ecosystem in the country. The new Google Messenger app is in its early stages of development and is likely to be launched in 2015, sources aware of the plans said. Google, of course, a spokesperson from Google declined to comment. So, you know, Google reportedly made an offer of over $10 billion to buy WhatsApp, which ultimately went to Facebook for $19 billion. So this might be Google's trying to move to try to catch up and build their version of WhatsApp. But this is kind of puzzling because, like, Google has Hangouts, right? Like, isn't Hangouts their messenger app? I mean, I think that you know, WhatsApp really succeeded because it was truly a global messaging app. So I'm wondering, you know, about what are the features that would make it most useful, make this new messaging app most useful in India and other emerging markets. But I don't know, Jason, Aaron, what do you guys think? Do you think that Google's in need of a new messaging app, or what's going on here?
Message all the things.
Message all the things.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What do you think, Aaron?
No. I don't know. I wish they just kind of focused up on their messaging, just like get together, all together. They're working on it, it seems like, but now they're like, oh, wait, no, we're going to do this other thing too. So I don't know. Just when you think they've got it all together, they come out with something new.
Yeah, no, it is kind of puzzling. Like, I know when we had this story on Tech News Today, Mike, you know, part of Mike's direction with this story was that it definitely has something to do with kind of more of the emerging markets and everything, but I'm not sure how having another messaging app helps in that regard. Like, I think Google kind of already has with it a certain level of clout with, you know, and I have to imagine in emerging markets they have at least some notoriety anyways. How having another messaging app in the mix helps them penetrate those markets, I don't know. But I do know that, and I'll put this link in the doc, it's underneath the Economic Times link, Brian, that the story we had last week, the Android Police, this is Nexus 6 picture, and it shows the front of the Nexus 6 with a bunch of apps on the device. If you zoom in down to the bottom there, you see a little messaging icon down there that we haven't seen before. I'm wondering if this is something that we're going to hear more about, or if that's just a redesigned Hangouts icon, or maybe it's nothing. Maybe this is all fake. But, you know, who knows? Maybe we hear more about this. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me that they would do another messaging service and have it exist outside of Hangouts and have, let's say, emerging markets have this messaging service that other markets don't have, or if they all have it, it gets into that confusing world again of, wait, these two things kind of do same things but differently. You know, I don't know.
Confusing. I mean, I'm like a big dumb American, and I've got my big fat broadband pipe, and I've got really high end devices with lots of memory and CPU. And I mean, I wonder if there's a way to optimize a new messaging app for different networks, for lower end hardware, for internationalization around, you know, characters and emoticons and character sets. I mean, I know that was a big deal with WhatsApp. It's I forget what country WhatsApp's founder was from, but I know that it was one of the few apps that could handle special non-ASCII, you know, special characters. that other languages besides English use, and that's why it had such a big international audience. And I wonder if you know, Hangouts just doesn't cut it, and Hangouts is maybe a little too heavy or slow running or hoggy, and they're just thinking about something super lightweight that has very few requirements for someone in the kind of network conditions, you know, that you would be in India and other markets. I don't know. There might be something there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe this will go along with Android One. We'll see. But it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, my gut reaction is yours too. Like, oh, they don't need another messaging app. Just stick with Hangouts and make it great. But I'm also sitting here in New York City, and that's a very different place, I think.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you're right. But so I see. It seems the selling point of this is that it won't require the Google sign in. Why is that an issue? So will it have another sign-in that you have to create an account specifically for that's not tied to your Google? I don't know. I'm a fan of single sign-in. If I could sign in once into my browser and, like, never have to put in any other account information, that would be great. And I realize that's horribly insecure, but I don't really care that much about most of the stuff because there's, if you want my information, just ask. So, I don't know. That's probably horrible, and people will say I'm a horrible person for thinking that we should get rid of logins, but I hate them. I wish, you know, there was an easier way. There should be an easier way.
Yeah, and I mean, some of the Google, you know, the Google Plus sign-in and all those others are an easier way, and they have their own layers of security, too, so it's not like you're just blasting your information out for everybody to see. So it is protected in some way. It does kind of go counter to Google's, you know, approach for quite a while, which is that everything revolves around a Google account. And, you know, why suddenly is there a service unless people in these markets are less likely to sign up for a service where they have to sign in for a Google account and therefore, hey, let's offer them a service that works. But how does Google benefit from that? Is it more users using Android in these emerging markets? I don't know. We don't know enough to really be able to make a firm conclusion on it.
I mean, there might be a legal issue, a privacy issue, terms of service issue, an internationalization issue, an issue of just user experience. I mean, who knows? An issue where it's just you use the phone number right as the login,
right?
Which might be simpler or easier to do in different scenarios. I'm not sure.
That would work. I like that.
Yeah. And then let's see here. So Google Plus, we're a little light on app news this week. So check this out. Material design is continuing to be implemented into Google's apps. We got a Google Plus app update. And, got some design update changes, got a little pretty light on the changes, but I believe these are the befores, and then the row of photos underneath this are the afters. So you'll have to really hunt to find the differences. What I found interesting, though, is Android Police's APK teardown that points to upcoming integration of polls into Google Plus, which I think is just... man, I'm going to use that a lot. I really hope that happens soon. And also Android Wear support, which I feel so bad because one of the first things that I do when I'm setting up a new Android Wear watch is I ignore Google Plus notifications because they are pointless. Because it's just like a stack of first name, last name, plus one, ... And it's like, okay, cool. I'm happy I know this. I need to respond or I have to pull out my phone to do anything. So I do hope that they improve that. And that's actually not just limited to Google Plus. There's a lot of apps that come up on my watch and I'm just like, I don't need to be notified of that on my wrist. Just don't need it. Not useful at all. So anyways, I hope that they improve that. But then I think Google also rolled out a material update to, I think, a newsstand and stuff. So we're seeing a lot more of this. We're going to continue seeing it throughout the course of the month, I imagine, in preparation for the final release of version L, which couldn't come sooner.
I feel like the guy who did Newsstand came back to work after like 3 years and he's like, hey, I'm back. Now I put out like three updates in a matter of...
It's true.
like nothing for 2 years and then all of a sudden three updates in like two. I'm glad to see Locations is still there. I have this weird feeling that Google's phasing out Locations, which I love because I can spy on my wife all the time.
Man, I hope I hope that they don't do that. It's really useful.
Yeah. Well, it keeps getting like further down, you know, it's like, hey, we'll hide it here. No, now we're going to hide it over here. I don't know. I'm afraid.
Yeah.
All the time.
How you get to Locations in the app right now is very strange. It's very hidden. I feel like in some ways the Google Plus app is kind of pushing the level of what Google's material design effort is about as far as their apps are concerned. In other ways, it's designed so strangely, like hiding those things in that top kind of pull down at the very bottom of the screen. It's like, no, none of your other apps do that. Why does this one do that? And how would I know to look in there for Locations? So yeah, it is weird. Interplay between their different efforts has not always been Google's strong suit as far as their design is concerned, getting them all on the same page.
I'm still furious at the calendar and Gmail team for splitting up calendar invites from Gmail.
Oh.
Makes me sad.
Yeah. I can understand that. I can understand the sadness. Let's see here. So, Gina, another email.
Yes, we have an email. Email reads, recently, I've been looking for an app that solves a very specific issue that I'm sure many tech users suffer. If I'm about to talk about an app you highlighted in the past, I apologize. At night, when I'm getting comfortable in bed, I like to read. A few years ago, I replaced purchasing actual books with digital books. And as a night reader, I hear time and again that I'm not supposed to put a screen in front of my face one hour before bedtime. So I just recently started looking for a solution. There's a PC solution to the problem called Efflux. And I found out there is a phone, I guess that's called pronounced Flux, sorry. And I found out there is a phone and tablet app called Twilight that will do almost the same thing. Do any of you experience with an app like this? Is this something you featured in the arena in the past? Fantastic podcast to listen every single week. Thank you. Thank you, Scott Hansen from Wisconsin. Scott, yes. As a matter of fact, there is an app that does this. It was in the arena. It won the arena for me. It was my pick, and it is Twilight. I use and love Twilight every single day. It is on by default on my phone, and that's exactly what Twilight does. It eliminates the blue light, or it lessens the amount of blue light that comes out of your phone screen, that the light that makes your screen really, really bright. And I have it on all the time, and it actually is synced to the sun cycle. So when the sun's down, it dims the screen quite a bit. And when the sun's up, it doesn't dim it very much. But what I love about Twilight is exactly what you said. When I'm laying in bed at night and I'm reading, or I'm checking in on my, on chat or something, and I want the screen to be extremely dim, there is a profile in Twilight called Bed Reading. And it does exactly that. I don't know if it helps me sleep better, but I do know it saves my eyes from just that like assault of a really bright screen and a really, really dark room. So I like it a lot. It has one quirk, Twilight does. While it's running, for some reason, there's a situation where if you try to install an app from an untrusted source, and it's got the install cancel buttons at the bottom. With Twilight running, sometimes you aren't able to tap those buttons. I don't know what it is; it's a bug. But if you just pause Twilight, you'll be able to do that. So if you install Twilight and you have any trouble like reaching a tap target on your phone toward the bottom of the phone, just pause Twilight. It shows up in your notification shade. You can do that really quickly. That's the only kind of annoying thing about it. But once you know that that's the issue, you sort of work around it. So I can absolutely recommend Twilight. Jason, do you use Lux?
Yeah,
for Android?
Yeah, and it's pretty much the same thing. You can set it up to be the same thing, and that's what I've used for a couple of years now. You can track the sunset location. Is it automatic, based on your network? Oh, there we go. Sorry. And then yes, it will do the same thing that you're talking about. So it sounds like it's just different approaches for the most part. You might even see it in my notifications all the time. That up at the very top there is my Lux my Lux capacitor, my Lux control, sorry. So there's different ways to approach this. Sounds like both are great approaches. And I actually only recently turned on that night option. But I have, because I realize every single night I get into bed and my night is not complete until I like scan Reddit before going to bed, which is maybe not the right thing to do right before going to sleep.
I often read too. Sometimes I'm insomnia and I can't fall asleep. So I'm like, I read a little bit, but it feels like an assault when the screen is really bright. The other thing about running Twilight, it's probably the same thing with Flux. There are times when I often take screenshots of my phone for work or for my apps or whatever. And then like, I'll look at the screenshots on my computer the next day and they look crazy. They look like all pinked out and like weird, even though it's totally fine on my phone. But that's what it does. It makes the color on your phone a little weird. So if you're taking pictures or you want, you really want to just pause it. So it's Twilight, same thing. It's in your notification shades. You can pause it if you want to take a screenshot or take a photo or like see what the screen would be without the eye protection going on.
Yeah, Lux does the same thing with screenshots. It makes them look all funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there you go. A couple of options for you to check out, and hopefully that'll help you sleep better. All right, let's take a break. Thank our last sponsor of today's episode. That would be Gazelle. Gazelle's the perfect sponsor for this show because all we do is talk about Android devices and the up and coming devices and everything. Gazelle is a way to sell your old unused device or your soon to be old unused device. If you have one that's coming right around the corner, Gazelle's a great way to fund your purchase. And here's kind of what it's all about. You can lock in your price today. send it to Gazelle when you get your new phone, because Gazelle's offer is good for 30 days. If you want, you know, the new Nexus 6 or the Nexus 9 that's coming up, Nexus 6, let's say, you know, that's less than, rumored to be less than a month away. You could go onto Gazelle, find your device, the device that you have, lock in that price, tell them what condition that the device is, what carrier it is, how much storage, you know, you put in all that information. The interface is super easy to use to plug it all in. And then you, in the end of the process, will get an offer from Gazelle. So that price that they give you, that's locked in. 30 days from this point forward, you're locked in for that price. You don't have to give them the device right away. You can hold on to the device until you hear all about the Nexus 6 and you decide, yes, I need to have that. And you have 30 days to redeem it. So and that basically means that your device, you know, devices don't increase in value over time. They lose value. So if you lock in today before the announcement's made, then you're going to make more than if it's afterwards and everybody's selling their device. See how that works. You tell them the condition. They'll even buy broken phones and tablets in some cases and do the recycling for you. And it's a risk-free offer with free shipping. You'll get paid fast by check, PayPal, or you get an extra 5% with an Amazon gift card. Go to gazelle.com. Now you can get an offer for your used Android or Apple products. They take them all. Well, not all of them, but most of the big ones right now, you're probably going to find it. You'll get paid in cash. Payment's fast, usually within a couple of days, the item being received. It's risk-free. Like I said, offer's good for 30 days. That gives you time to transfer the data or set up your new device. Gazelle will actually also wipe your data for free, and they'll do that for you if you don't do it yourself. It's probably recommended always when you hand your device to somebody else that you do it yourself. But if you don't, Gazelle's got you covered. They're trustworthy. They can take care of it for you. Gazelle has paid nearly $170 million to over 1 million customers. It's easy. Like I said, free shipping, fast process, no listing hassles. So if you want to take a look and see what Gazelle's all about, find out what your Android device is worth, just take a minute, go to gazelle.com to find out. We thank Gazelle for their continued support of All About Android and the TWiT Network. It's a perfect fit. It really is. Check them out, gazelle.com. All right, it's time to battle in the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena. Meow, meow.
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 Sorry, I just get into it. The arena just gets me all jacked up. So let's see here. Last week we had a few awesome apps, and I have not seen the results. I'm going to go ahead and click results. Authy. I knew that was going to happen. I knew that
yes.
was going to happen. I did not
yes.
know that Counter Spy was going to lose fourth place. It really, guys, it deserved better than that. But whatever.
Shame on you. Shame
whatever.
On you, voters.
I honestly thought it was going to do much better than that because it's really a lot of fun. But that's not the news. The news is Authy wins. That's another mark for you, Gina.
We're so okay. So here are the results thanks to Wade County.
Thank you, Wade County.
Jason, you are at 9 wins. This is for 2014.
All right.
Ron is at 13. I am at 11.
Whoa!
And Yes is at 6. So I am giving Ron a
yeah,
run for his money. We both are. We both are. So keep going to Comic-Con, Ron.
Yeah, you just keep going. You keep forfeiting your wins by going off to conferences and stuff, buddy. That's how it works. So let's see. Was Ron? Ron was Digify, right? So he was third. Twitch was second at 14%. And then, of course, Counter Spy was the big loser. The big loser. Okay, so I will go first then. Ooh, let me wipe off my phone because it's a little dirty right now. Okay, my app might seem like the kind of thing that you don't need because you have Google Now. It's called Commute Traffic Report. So you know on Google Now, it learns where your home is, where your work is, and then you'll look at your Google Now and it'll say, all right, you need to leave in 10 minutes to make your commute to get to work on time, you know, and it analyzes the traffic and everything like that. Commute is an app that actually, okay, so MapQuest isn't dead. MapQuest exists still, even though not quite catching all of the headlines these days the way it used to, way back when. But they created this app, and what it does, it's almost like a way to do this manually. And I think that's kind of useful, right? Because not always is your commute the same time every single day. Some people leave at different times and whatever. So what you can do in commute is you can set your home address, which I've set for Twit. You can set your work address, which I was like, okay, cool, Google. So there's Mountain View, Google. And you set the days of the week that you commute. And you can plug in here when you normally leave home and when you normally leave work. And that, you know, that kind of allows it to be a little bit smarter as far as how it recommends when you leave and all that kind of stuff. The reason that I like it is because at any point I can open up this app and say, man, if I need to leave right now, how long is it going to take for me to get home based on traffic right now? So it's not necessarily basing it around like I'm only going to like Google Now does, where it's like, oh, 4:30 is when you normally leave home. So around 4 o'clock, I'm going to show you how long it's going to take for you to get home. This is a way to kind of do it on demand. And, you know, you've got the interactive map here that you can kind of play around with and get an idea. So if I was to leave right now and travel down to Google, that would take me an hour and 35 minutes to get there. And it gives you, you know, kind of the amount of time it's going to take. It tells you about when you're going to arrive and all that kind of stuff. So Palace, I didn't show you where I live. I showed you where the Twit studio is. Just correcting you on that one. So there you go. I mean, it's an app that does a specific thing. But I like the design of it, and I like the on-demand aspect of it, knowing that if I plug this and that, it's going to tell me easily, you know, without me having to go into Google Maps and like plug the values in and process it or whatever. I can just kind of keep it stashed and at any time know exactly how long it's probably going to take for me to commute to or from work. So there you go. So that's kind of it. It's Commute Traffic Report, and it is by the MapQuest folks. It's free. And I don't know. I think it's a pretty handy app to kind of have installed and use when you need it. There you go. It's called Commute. Okay. Nice. Aaron, you are up next, and I'm going to do my best to show it off without messing it up. So go ahead and talk about the app that you have, and I'll show it off for you.
All right. So I selected Android Wear Launcher because I had like 5 minutes to pick one, and so that's what I came up with. I like it. You know, a lot of people hate on having a launcher on Wear, but I find it makes it really convenient to get to some quick things. Like I have some if then that setting, so I can like turn on the ringtone of my phone and send a notification to it, or use the phone finder, or turn on the flashlight, all sorts of different things. But I find it makes my Wear usage a little bit better, and it's just a quick little launcher that you can pull out from the side, just like in the video, and it works great. I've had no issues with it so far, so I like it, and you should too. Vote for me.
Nice. I'm installing this.
Money.
Yeah, you know, when I first got my Wear devices from IO, and you know, Google kind of went off on, you know, just their kind of approach with Wear is different than some of the other things that they've done, which is like, we're keeping it simple on purpose. We're not giving you like a full Android launcher or whatever. You can get to it, but you kind of have to go through a couple of steps to get there. Really, this is meant to be operated by your voice. And I think initially my thought on that was like, well, that's kind of what, you know, how the platform is designed. So let's stick to it. But I have realized over time that sometimes you just need to launch something, and getting there, you know, on the Moto 360, and I think pretty much on any Android Wear device, if you switch over, Brian, you have to tap, then you tap again, then you scroll down, you go to start, and there's your launcher. It takes a little while to get there. So you do have the launcher. It's just kind of a pain in the butt. So yeah. This totally does make it easier. It's a swipe from the left. Do you find that it ever interferes with your notification swiping at all?
No, I tend to, you know, it's pretty good. You swipe all the way from the left to pull it out. And I usually, when I'm dismissing a notification, I'm swiping more from the middle of the screen to the right to dismiss a notification.
Yeah,
and that's really the only time it would interfere. So it's really, I haven't accidentally pulled it out ever. Mm-hmm. So they've done a good job. And I actually have, I'm using the larger area to sense, because I actually in the past had trouble getting it to come out.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah. Does the trick. Awesome. So there you go. It's Wear Mini Launcher. And if you have an Android Wear device, I think it works with the Moto 360, the Guach, and the Gear Live at this point. I'm sure they'll, you know, add in functionality for the other ones as they appear on the scene.
I love Guach.
Guach. So does Ron. All right, and Gina, you are up next, and I love this game. It's awesome.
Oh, have you? You've heard of this game? Have you done this in Android Arena? Or?
No, okay. I haven't. Right, cool. No, okay. But it's hilarious.
It is. All right. So my pick tonight is a game that is killing me. It's killing me, you guys. And I want you to be killed by it as well. It's called Daddy Long Legs. Daddy Long Legs. And it's free. And it's a game. It's a super simple game. And the idea is that you are Daddy Long Legs. You've got a couple of really, really long legs. And you got to help this guy walk.
It's really hard.
And you do so by tapping. You just tap when you want Daddy Long Legs to switch legs. And it's a lot harder than you think. Like, it's really hard for a thing with really long legs to stay up. Yeah, there you go. Jason, you're pretty good, actually. Flappy Bird level of addictive and difficult, but you just can't stop yourself from, like, trying again.
I find myself leaning when I'm playing it.
Me too, leaning in the direction of forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, like just a little further, guy. Come on, you can do it. You can do it.
And then you just know you're screwed when this happens.
And
you're like, okay.
Yeah, and then sometimes he just gets stuck. And you're like, yeah.
I love it.
I installed this app. I started playing. I think I was like at 47 before I put it down. That was my first session. And I didn't have time to play a game. Like, I was like, and I got stuck in this thing. So Daddy Long Legs, it's an incredibly simple, extremely difficult, but really fun, addictive game. Great for like the subway or like killing a few minutes. But it's... And it's deeply frustrating. And there was a point where I was like, I just don't know how to use this. Like, there's got to be another button or another thing that you can do to make it easier. No. It's just that frustrating. But in a, like, delightful way of, like, I just want to try it again.
Yeah, it's got a cute, kind of cute factor to it. It's totally of the Flappy Bird ilk in that it's so hard. But that's why you keep playing. Because you know there's some sort of... like perfect zone. You know that there's probably some sort of like repetitive motion that you could get into and you'd probably fly forever,
there's
but you can never find it.
There's got to be a trick, you guys. There's got to be a trick. Yeah. Dude just keeps falling down. It's
it's great. I love it.
12 meters.
Excellent choice.
It's a lot of fun. Daddy Long Legs. Check it out. It's a really fun game.
Right on.
I concede victory to you, Gina.
You concede? I don't know. Yeah, you know, they're all very different, as we usually say in the
apps.
Arena.
All
you know,
good apps, as always.
You've got a game, you've got a controller, and then you've got a commute tool. Let me tell you, that one's not sounding so hot at this point. But there you go. You can vote for your favorite. Which one improves your life in an amazing way? Is it AAA? Or go to AAApoll.com/182 and vote for your favorite. Daddy Long Legs, it's stretching its legs out, and it's coming out ahead early on.
We don't know. Early returns.
Never know.
You never know.
Uninstall. I'm uninstall it. Probably the day of my life.
It's kind of, and the more you play it, the more you're like, oh, like I found myself getting really tense at the last few times that I was playing. Because I'm like, no, I must get further than this.
I gotta hit the line. I just want to pass the line.
This is not good enough for me.
Yeah, they put that line there. Such a tease.
Exactly. So there you go. AAApoll.com/182. Let your voice be heard, and we'll talk all about it next week. That is it, folks. Aaron Kasten, really appreciate you coming on the show this week, and gotta wish you an awesome show. That's not very far away. What is that, next weekend?
Yeah, next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
My goodness.
Nice.
I have to imagine you get to the end of the show and you just kind of like and pass out.
Yeah, a lot of organization. I usually disappear for like a month afterwards.
I understand. So this is your chance to kind of tell people where they can find you, if they want to find you, or, you know, just basically what are your parting words? What do you want people to know?
Oh, well, I'm actually very good looking. This blob that you see in front of you right now is a poor resemblance of what I look like. So disregard that. I don't know what's going on with my video. It's usually not near this bad. I do hangouts all the time. I'm on a weekly podcast even.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll do hangouts next time. I'll make myself a note.
Yeah, I guess it's Skype. My computer can't handle Skype. It doesn't look good. You can find me. I'm Adroidian, Adroidian on Twitter. I think that's how I spell it. Aaron Kasten on Google Plus. Those are the main places to find me. Hit me up on Google Plus. I don't check Twitter that often anymore. That's it.
Right,
check out Big Android Barbecue, bigandroidbbq.com. Buy a ticket. Come see us.
That's right. The offer code is TWIT. So if you buy a ticket, put in that promo or offer code. I'm not sure how you have it phrased on the site, but TWIT, pretty easy to remember. Yeah. That'll get you 20% off your ticket. So cool. Yeah. Thank you again, Aaron. We'll have you back soon.
Better video next time. I'd love to come back. It was a lot of fun.
All right. Right on. We'll do that.
Right on.
Gina, what about you? What's going on?
I am working on a thing. It's called ThinkUp, thinkup.com. It's insights about you and your friends on social networks. Give it a try. There's a free trial. Sign in with Twitter or Facebook. Check it out at thinkup.com. And when I'm not working on ThinkUp or here on All About Android, I am co-hosting This Week in Google with Leo and Jeff Jarvis. And that airs on Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. So you should, like, come on by and watch tomorrow. Hop in the chat room. And sometimes we talk about a little bit about Android, but we talk about Google and the cloud and all kinds of other fun, nerdy stuff like that. So come on by.
Awesome. Yes, great show and great site. Love ThinkUp.
Thank you.
It's a great way to rediscover the things that you do on social networks in a different way. So it's cool stuff. I ran across a photo. Yes, I think I know what you're going to talk about. Ran across a photo of me looking, gazing longingly into my beer's eyes.
Had a day that day. Yeah, you and that IPA looked like you're about to be friends, good friends. More than just friends, perhaps.
Possibly. Leaving the friend zone with that IPA. Brian, what about you? Was it...
Huh? Me?
Yeah, you.
Oh, I got a little different camera angle here going on today.
Ooh, Brian.
Hi, Brian. What's going down there?
This is my domain during the show.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
It's fun. It's very colorful. But you can follow me on Twitter at @cranky_hippo. When I'm not TDing, I'll be hosting on Know How with Padre. In the coming weeks, I can't say precisely, I'm doing a build-it-yourself wearable device. It's going to be a watch like the Moto 360, but you'll solder it and program it yourself, and we'll do it yourself project. And
what? You're going to build a wearable?
Yeah. Powered on a little battery, so.
You guys are kind of like a little too smart, I'm just saying.
No, there's plenty of information on the internet how to do it.
Oh, okay, all right.
But we're going to have fun doing it, so that's kind of what we do on Know How.
Awesome.
What about you, Jason? What you got going on?
Oh, a couple of things. About.me/Jason Howell, if you care to find my social network stuff. YellowGoldMusic.com, if you care to find music. That's me.
I like your Twitter.
That's me angry at a banana. That's me. Oh, I do love dill pickles. I do love a beer.
Beer.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll have two sandwiches.
That's what the leaving your knife on the sink like that means.
Oh, maybe, the universal.
Maybe I'll make two sandwiches. that's a zucchini, by the way. Okay, there we go. You'd find all of these things at raygun01.thinkup.com, by the way. Just a couple of reminders. Android App Arena is another Android show that I do, and I'd love to see you over there. Last week, I covered a bunch of news aggregators, kind of like alligators, but they, about news. And this week, I'm working on an episode all about camera tools. So every week, I kind of do a focus of some sort, either on a category or games or comparing this to that, or sometimes it's just a random hodgepodge of apps. So if you like apps for Android, check out the show. It's twit.tv/arena. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I'm playing with a lot of apps these days. It's kind of crazy playing with this many apps. I thought one app a week was a lot. Now I'm like up to five. So Whew. But there you go. twit.tv/arena. And I hope it's helpful to you. The other thing to know is that we have a best of 2014 episode that I am on the hook for by the end of the year. And I need your help. It's twit.tv/best of. If you go there, you can tell me about your favorite moments, maybe from today's episode or previous episodes this year. But the more information you have, the more useful it is to me, and the easier I'm going to have a time to find it and pull it out and make an awesome best of thanks to you guys. So check that out, twit.tv/best of. And I believe that's it. That's it for this week. Let's go ahead and say goodbye at this point. 347-SHOW-AAA is the number that you can call to get involved with the show. Leave us a message in your voice. Love to hear you. twit.tv/AAA is the site that you can go to if you want to subscribe to the show, download, find all the links there. You can also find our video on YouTube and iTunes. You can always send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter. We are at Android Show. We're on Reddit. twitaaa.reddit.com. We have a Google Plus community. We're all over the place. Just do a Google search for All About Android. And it's 5 p.m. Pacific, live every Tuesday night at live.twit.tv. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week on another episode of All About Android. I forgot about the hint.
Oh, the hint.
Oh, well, here's the hint. Yeah, yeah, it's a little thing that you put in your ear. I'm not going to put this in my ear because this is Leo's head.
Leo is really putting it in there deep.
Yeah, so. I can tell you right now, Leo had this in his ear.
Yeah.
Oh.